As Americans try to calibrate their feelings about a war with Iraq, one of the most frequented staging grounds for a war campaign is in Nashville, Tennessee. President Bush, who carried Tennessee, made a speech here on September 18th, shortly after he addressed the United Nations. Vice President Dick Cheney has also visited Nashville, as have other administration officials. We decided to pay Nashville a visit ourselves and found that despite the attention, Tennesseans are ambivalent on the subject of a war. Our Nashville tour begins in the heart of the city. In a small two-room
apartment, the Ryman Auditorium is very close by. The Ryman is the old home of the Grand Ole Opry, and the Grand Ole Opry is the show that made Nashville the home of country music. And we'll come right back and take our tour after we take a look at the old riverfront, the old part of town up ahead.
Here's what's not immediately announced on a tour of Nashville. It's the heart of the Bible Belt. The Southern Baptist Convention is headquartered here, as are various Bible publishers and Christian pulpits of all sorts, from the tiniest storefront to the largest tall-spired edifice. There's a feeling here that it's good to be an American and that good Americans follow the leader of the country, who happens to be George W. Bush. Certainly, Giff Thornton feels that way. Lawyer, father of four, and an active Republican, Thornton was at the $1,000 plate luncheon when the president came to town.
The impression that I was left with is that this is a man who knows what he's doing and who is competent to make the decisions that a commander-in-chief has to make. His speech in Nashville helped me become more comfortable that he's prepared and capable of making that decision.
Where is the evidence?
Outside Giff Thornton's office building, though, paralegal Lou Ann Simons stands with her hands on her hips and fairly bristles over the thought of war with Iraq, yet she too voted for the president in the last election.
I might be persuaded, however, no one has given me enough information to base a conclusion on. Now, believe me, I'm no lover of Saddam Hussein or anything of the sort. However, I declare I will not see my children go off on a whim.
Nashville has spent $365 million in recent years trying to spruce up downtown. At the Exchange Club, where 100 or so business leaders regularly lunch, talk of war is Washington planning, not Nashville's.
How many people watched minor league baseball this year? 40 million people.
Here, the plans being reviewed concern a possible AAA ballpark.
Minor league baseball is really becoming very valuable to communities. I would like to be in a new ballpark April 2005.
After the luncheon, some of those who attended, people well-versed with the papers and morning news programs, sat down to talk with us about what a war on Iraq might mean for them.
I'm Gus Perrier, and I'm an attorney here in Nashville. I'm a Republican. If I could address regime change, you have a regime that agreed to certain conditions at the end of the Gulf War and has not abided by those. If the inspectors go back in, we're likely to die the death of a thousand cuts over the cat and mouse game of moving things around. This is a regime that has used chemical weapons on its own people, that, at least according to published accounts, probably already has chemical and biological weapons and is working toward developing nuclear weapons. And to wait for them to be in imminent possession of weapons like nuclear weapons before undertaking any action against them strikes me as folly.
My name is Jeff Wilson. I'm a software developer and I'm a Democrat. I would say I'm open-minded. I am listening to what the administration has to say. I'm listening to what others have to say. I have some serious reservations. I think this administration, except for a tax cut for the wealthy, has had trouble getting anything of substance completed. The economy is getting worse by the month. We started a war on terrorism with the avowed goal of capturing or killing Osama bin Laden, and there's no evidence that we've reached that milestone. I'm also very concerned about the precedent of being very unilateral. I think that's a very dangerous precedent for world stability.
I'm Gerald Sheridan, a retired general contractor, a great supporter of George Bush. I've been with him all the way. But in this situation, I'm not quite as hawkish as he is. I'd like a little more information. I'm not convinced at this point in time that Saddam is that great a world threat. He may be. They may have information to prove it, but I haven't seen it. I don't know about it. And to go in there without our allies, without any support around the world, to remove a dictator that we don't like, is it our role to remove every leader we don't like?
Considerations of a different sort dominate Nashville's music scene on Broadway. This is the Nashville that breaks hearts. Amid glowing neon and growling guitars, honky-tonk cowboys and cowgirls belt out heartfelt songs about love at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge or Rippy's Barbecue.
Love is a burning thing, and it plays a
Bruce Stobie is editor and publisher of the Nashville Scene newspaper and is listening to see if heavy doses of traditional patriotism, a Tennessee staple, are making people receptive to war talk.
Sure, Tennessee's the volunteer state, and being in the South as we are, we're pretty disposed to assist whenever the military call comes. At the same token, we're just not real it's not top of the mind right now.
What is then?
Well, University of Tennessee football, quite frankly, and I'm not being facetious here. That's what's being talked about in the cafes at lunchtime. But more seriously, probably education and the economy and gun control questions. Second Amendment is a big deal out there. So domestic concerns, I'd say, are a lot bigger than some unknown war with Iraq.
And yet, if the president is asking Tennesseans, as he is in fact asking Tennesseans, to support his position on a war with Iraq, and you say it's not top of the mindset, without being unkind, and this might be true of a majority of Americans, could people identify where Iraq is on the map?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, you go back to the Alan Jackson song. He wrote a beautiful, he's a country musician from here, just wrote a beautiful anthem about September 11th. And there's this line in the song, and I'll probably butcher it horribly, but it was something about, while we listen to CNN, we really don't know the difference between Iran and Iraq. And that's true of probably most Tennesseans.
We did find people who could put Iraq on the map and tell the difference between Iraq and Iran. Some of them at Arnold's Meat and Three, a roadside diner, which has helped put Nashville on the map. It serves catfish, okra, and southern food, along with a taste for political chit-chat. Take Shelley and William Gray, both retired. He's a former salesman and a Democrat. Shelley's a Bush supporter and former teacher.
Well, I'll say this, I don't want war. I don't think anybody wants war, but I say that it may be inevitable to preserve our freedom. We ought to go to any length to preserve it. I think it's going to be a long and drawn out thing. How long, I don't know, but very unpleasant and very unsavory, but again, necessary.
I think a little differently maybe than she does. And I think we should get it the war with the terrorist over with before we tackle this one. Saddam's not a stupid man. I don't think he's going to unleash any atomic weapons on especially America, who could annihilate him in minutes. But there could be something to the biological warfare. And I think he would do that in the Middle East before he would ever get with us. I frankly think that George W. is trying to make up for what his father didn't finish. So I think there's three things. The war on terrorists. I think we should have a coalition of allies to go in. And I would hope we would have the sanction of the UN. And then the economy is very important.
Lunch isn't the only thing served on Wednesdays at noon. Across town, Mount Zion Baptist Church is holding its popular midday prayer service. 500 people are streaming in. One of them is parishioner Vinita Lewis, a woman with her own radio show, a woman with strong opinions.
You know, you have to go back to the David and Goliath story. I sometimes think we try to play Goliath. You know, we don't know if they're capable of being a David. You know what I'm saying? But you can't go pushing people around and expect them to say, okay. And it's not that I'm, you know, anti-Republican, because I am a registered Republican. But I'm trying to see the end results, you know. And if we go in and fight, I think the end results won't be favorable for America, not so much in the war, but in the world. It's deeper than
denominations. It's deeper. Bishop J.W. Walker is the charismatic young preacher who holds his audience in rapt attention. It doesn't make a difference if you're Methodist, if you're Catholic, if you're Episcopal, if you're Baptist, if you're cultured. It doesn't make a difference because when you have an experience with God... Bishop Walker doesn't use his pulpit to talk about war on this day. There are more pressing concerns in the community. But that doesn't mean it's far from his mind and heart.
Certainly we support our president, we support what our government chooses to do, and we're praying for those. We hate to see us have to go to war again in Iraq. I know that's a critical issue now because these are our children and families that we would have to be sending over. But certainly we do understand the importance of us confronting evil before it manifests in ways in which we all cannot live in a world without peace. I hope diplomacy will work.
Are you worried this would fall heavily on your congregation and people you know here, people
Absolutely.
Who would do military?
Absolutely. I have a lot of military persons. I have persons right now in Cuba at the prison. I have people that are in Afghanistan now in my church, and of course I'm concerned about that. You know, I just pray for our president, I pray for our leaders that they will really make the decision that is wise. You know, so often we make decisions on information, but there's another level of wisdom. What is the wise thing to do? And I just pray that we make that decision, you know?
It's tempting to think that in Nashville, where values are as solid as a vault, that whatever the president decides, Tennesseans will be behind him. Polls show that most Tennesseans would like to see it that way. But over a decade, Saddam Hussein has been a distant threat, and he doesn't seem much closer now. Much more real and looming is the doubt about what Americans are being asked to do, go to war, and whether the sacrifices will make all the bright motion of life here safer and more secure. No one seems very certain that that will be so.